Y'all ready to pray to God this morning? Say, "Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen." That's our promise from God. Give him praise. That's your promise from God. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Brother Fred, Elder Nancy, we love you so much. Thank you. Hello, Fred. God bless you, brother. Responsive reading this morning. Psalm 104, is that the correct one? Nope. I had the correct. Oh, here it is. I got it right here. My wife even asked me, and I said yes, and I did. I have it right here. Psalm 34, one of my favorite psalms. I hope one of you... How many know that psalms are songs? When David wrote these were actually songs. He played on his little lyre. He played with a tambourine, played with a drum. And he sang these. These are songs. And who did he write these songs to? God. Why would he write songs to God? Because we're supposed to bring God gifts, amen? Some churches get a little carried away, and we're going to get into it. Some people say, hey, you got to bring something to God, so bring money. And they even said this, I got to tell you the truth. And they even came up with an amount that you had to send. I'm watching this. And they said, we want you to send $300. You got to bring a gift to God and give $150 in one hand and $150 in the other hand. And I will give you a double blessing. I said, time out. There's no such thing in the Bible as a double blessing that people can give each other. Amen? But this is why churches get in trouble. This is what they said. And one man, one doctor even said, I know you can afford it. This is the truth. My wife and I were watching. I know you can afford to give the money because you're getting $600 free dollars a week. We were getting all that money. And I said, I'm watching. I'm saying, Lord, help me. Because this is what people talk about the church. Because these people are on TV and we're not. We're just reading the Word of God, amen? And we're preaching the Word of God. We're building a foundation for God, for us, for the church. I want you to be aware when people, I want you to know the Word, amen? I want you to be full of the Word. Can I get an amen? Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. How many times? I will praise, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Your turn. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. I want you to stay with that word contrite. I want you to understand. Marilyn and I, we just worked together a little bit. I gave her some of the scriptures, and then she digs into the Bible. But I want you to hear the word contrite, because I will be using it later in another scripture. Marilyn, thank you. God bless you, Marilyn. Thank you. The Lord is near those that have a broken heart. Amen. Hallelujah. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. And I love this part. It says, my soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Other people are going to hear what you're saying when you plant the seeds. Amen? That's what you do. You're a tree dropping leaves. You're a tree dropping fruit. How many have ever seen a tree drop fruit? Anybody go pick apples? How many apples are on the tree? One, two? Hundreds of apples. And they fall and the people feed off the apples. You got fruit. You got to share it. Amen. That's what we're called to do. Give me an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for water. Well, Dave's not here today. We can have fun. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Dave. So my thing is, don't look at Gene for the answer. Here's your quiz for today. I have three, but I have one with a bonus question.
Oh.
So you got a chance to be 4 for 4 today. And it says this, did not Moses give you the law? This is Jesus speaking. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? Why do you seek to kill me? Is it A, they say to him, because you speak blasphemy? Is it B, because you're insane? Or is it C, they say you're demon-possessed? Jesus said, did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? That's amazing. Why do you seek to kill me? How many think it's A, because you speak blasphemy? Or B, it says, because you're insane? C, are you demon-possessed? John 7:20 says that, why do you seek to kill me? They say, because you have a demon. You are demon-possessed. There you go. David, I like this one. I actually looked this next one up to explain it better for you. It says, there's a word missing. What is it that we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil? It said, what is it that's the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil? Is it love? Is it love that's the anchor of our soul? Is it hope that's the anchor of our soul? Or is it the Holy Spirit that's the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil? So is it love? Is love the anchor of our soul? A, nobody. B, is it hope is the anchor of our soul? Or is it C, the Holy Spirit? Hebrews 6:19 says, this love we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. With this hope that we have, we can enter the presence behind the veil. And who's the presence? Jesus. You can go to Jesus because of the hope, because the hope is your anchor. That anchor holds you. Anybody ever been in a boat? You know what an anchor does? It holds the boat steady. It keeps the boat from drifting. That anchor is hope in Jesus. That's the hope, not the love or the Holy Spirit. It's hope. And how many times does your pastor told you, hope is the cure for depression? I believe it. When you're depressed, when you're sad, if you got nothing to hope for, you're not looking forward, you're not looking for something good in your life. But the second you have hope, no matter what you're going through, you have hope, all of a sudden things have to be different. Amen. Because now you're hoping, and if you're hoping, you're looking, and if you're looking, you're walking, and you're walking towards it. All of a sudden, you can't be depressed right now because you're busy hoping. And the Bible says in Hebrews that hope is the anchor to your soul. I love that. I looked it up. I said, what does it really mean? And I enjoyed reading it. And Jesus is the presence behind the veil. And you can go there. You, who can go there? Raise your hands. You can go there. Hallelujah. Anybody get that one? Good. Here's the third question with two parts. David, how many ever heard of David? Not the David that's at the tournament, King David. How old was David when he began to reign as king? Was he 30, was he 35, or was he 40? How old was David when he began to reign as king? Was he 30, A, B, 35, or C, 40? David was 30 years old when he began to reign as king. Gene, you got that one wrong, did you, Gene? And here's part B. Part B. I got part B, so you got one more chance. He was 30 years old when he reigned. How long did David reign as king? Was it 30 years A, 40 years B, or 50 years C? How many think it was 30 years? Did he reign for 30 years? How many think he reigned for 40 years? How many say 50 years? David reigned as king for 40 years. You get that right, you get a free piece of sandwich later. You got one, Chuck? I have more fun with this. And my wife came home and she gave me this deck of cards. And they're all Bible trivia cards. So it adds to my website that I go to. So I enjoy that. Did you all? Hi, John. Good to see you. Thank you. Praise God. John's here today. Amen. I'm happy about that. Hallelujah. If I can just tell you things to make you feel better, I want to do it. But I don't want to tell you things I made up. I want to read Bible with you. I want to read Scripture. And I want you to listen to this one little Scripture from the book of Corinthians. I want you to listen to this. It said, for we are God's fellow workers. Who are? We are. And not only that, it said, you are God's field. You are God's building. That's who you are today. You might have woke up and you got dressed and did your hair, makeup on, and guys, whatever. And maybe you didn't think about that. Maybe you never thought, but it said, we are God's fellow workers. You're working for God. You are God's field. You are the field. And you are God's building. When you came into this church, you saw a building, but understand, you are the building. You're the ones building it, and we're building it on this foundation together, amen? Isn't that a beautiful scripture? I don't know if it makes you feel any better, but it made me feel better. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. I'm going to keep that because I have more to share with you today. I have some news that might not be as good as some of the other news I want to share with you today. By the way, Sergio, God bless you, brother. We're praying for your grandma. How many know? I don't want to give away too much. But Sergio's grandma was in the hospital, and he could visit her all the time. And now she's in Fairfield at a nursing home, and he can't visit her anymore right now. So we need to pray with you that your spirit is with her. You've loved her so much that she knows you're there, but it doesn't help you. So we're going to help you and pray about that. Because, you know, people get into the nursing homes, and Doreen and I know we can't even walk through the doors. We're playing a couple of homes. In fact, Greg and I were playing. We have to be outside, and they bring the people outside. So we know by October they're not going to be bringing anybody outside, because in June, if somebody opens the window, some of them people get crazy. So, praise the Lord. But here's the news today. How many know there's no perfect church? Y'all know that? There's no perfect church. Not even in the Bible. Not even in the Bible. And Revelation talks of seven churches. And God talked about the good and the bad. No church was perfect. None. There wasn't any. Not even in the Bible. There's no perfect church. I love this story. Anybody ever hear the name Charles Spurgeon? He was a Baptist minister in England in the 1800s. Very pronounced, wrote many sermons, and his word was, he was respected, very highly respected. He ran some churches in England, in London, and he was really, really well known. Kind of like my Wigglesworth guy from England. Very devoted to God. Someone went up to him one day in his church and said, "We're leaving your church to find a perfect church." I understand that because I've had it happen. Amen. Maybe they haven't told me. But in his moment of wit and wisdom, something came over him, and this was his reply to those people. They said, "We're leaving your church to find a perfect church." And he said to them, "When you find it, please don't join it, because you're ruining it." Amen. Please don't join it, because you're going to ruin it. There's no perfect church. People come here and they love our church. They tell me they love the music. Amen. They love the sermon. They love the fellowship. And then they stay for a month or 2 months. And then they see the blemishes. They see the little things that we do. And they start saying, "I don't like that," or "I don't like this," or something upsets them or disappoints them. So I can only pray this, that God does the work in us and see what you, that the people who come to this church see what you see. See the faithful. I look around here right now. Yeah, we don't have 50 people right now, but we have the faithful. We have those that are faithful, that have been faithful to Second Congregational. So you look around and you see. So I pray when people come into the church and they come here and they spend a week with us or a month with us or 2 months with us, that they look around and they become part of the faithful. Miss Yvonne came to the church. I don't mean to pick on her, but it's true. She came and we welcomed her and she decided to stay. She saw the faithful and became part of the faithful. And for that, I am humbled and happy and proud. But we've had people come and tell me how wonderful the sermon was, how wonderful Doreen's singing was, the music was. And then they stay for a month, and then they see something that they don't like, and they continue to look for the perfect church. Praise God. We must always pray. We must always pray this, that God will help us all do better. How many? All of us. We just simply pray that God will help us all do better, to protect us from evil and keep us faithful to Him. You look around this church today, and these people you can trust. Everybody you see in this room today, I want you to know in this church, you can trust them because they're faithful. Andre's been coming to the church now for months. He's faithful. People have been coming here. They're faithful. Elder Nancy is faithful. You can go to her for prayer. Gene and Walter. And this is what it's all about. Amen? Finding a church and realizing that it's about God. So we ask that again. We must always pray that God will help us all do better to protect us. And I pray to God that God does the work in us, that they see what you see, that the people who come, and I had that vision, and I'm holding on to that vision. You might think I'm crazy, and maybe I am a little, but I had that vision where the church was almost full. People I did not know sitting right there in that spot and sitting there, and I turned around, and there they were, and I said, who are these people? Where did they come from? And I realized they came from God, and I have that vision. And if anybody prays with me, pray believing, because I believe it. I have that vision. Because it's about God. It's about you being grounded. So I pray that again, when people come, that they see you, the faithful, and it changes their life. Amen? Yeah, if you find the perfect church, please don't go. You'll ruin it. I did what you did. I absolutely laughed out loud the first time I heard that. And that's an answer that a pastor would love to, you know, share. Amen? How many know that hindsight's 20/20? Anybody ever hear that expression? Hindsight's 20/20. My friend, myself, we talk baseball all the time, Sergio. And I am the best manager the Yankees ever had. I could be greater than Ralph Houk and Casey Stengel because the day after, I know everything he did wrong the day before. I wouldn't change the pitcher. I would have pinched him for that guy. I would have done this. I would have done that. And I should call the Yankees and say, you need to hire me because I have this vision. You're all laughing at me, right? How many know there's people that do that? And then I thought of Deacon Sergio, and I thought of football. And I said, baseball was a good example, Jim, but it's football that's a greater example. Because one play, you can wake up the next day and say, I never would have done that play. I never would. There's one Super Bowl game that ended on the last play of the game. The team was on the 1 yard line. The 1 yard line. If they scored the touchdown, they were going to win the Super Bowl. Everybody in the stadium knew what the guy was going to do. They had the best running back in football that year. He was 250 pounds, and nobody could see. He had to go 1 yard. That's 3 feet. And they're thinking, this is, they're going to win the game. And he took the ball, and he went back, and he threw a pass. And somebody on the other team intercepted the pass. And they lost the game. Sergio, how many times did they say, that may have been the worst call in football history? But I could have told him it was the wrong call. And the next day, I could have told him every other call that he did. You should have threw the ball. You should have kicked the ball. You should have went for the field goal. Hindsight. Amen? I could be the best manager the Yankees ever had because I know every mistake he made the day after. And life is the same way. And I'm going to get right to it, but bear with me because I enjoy it. Life is the same way. How many know we've been going through something since January? Amen? We have. Maybe you didn't notice. We've been going through wearing masks everywhere. Anybody ever go to the grocery store and get out of your car and get close to the door and realize, I don't have my mask on? Where's me now? We've been going through something in this country since January. We've had to have people decide what to do at that moment. Amen? Understand that. We've had people giving advice. We've had doctors giving advice. We've had other people giving advice. We've had to listen to other people from other countries. We had to understand. And you had to make a decision. You had to make, when you're in that position, you have to make a decision. You choose what you choose. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Having to make a decision at that moment in time. The how, the when, the where, and the why. You don't have any choice. You have to make the decision. Just like in baseball and football. When the guy, you want to take the pitcher out or leave him in. You want to throw the pass around. You've got to make that decision right then. Deciding what to do after it's been done. After the need to know. Telling us what you would have done after is no different than what I'm telling you. And we see people all the time tell us what we did wrong back in January and February. But here it is September, and we never heard from them until June or July or something came up. Oh, by the way, this is what you did wrong. Say, wow, you're like me now. Anybody think the Yankees will hire me as a manager? Then why would we hire somebody who didn't tell us anything when it had to happen and come out 6 months later saying, this is what I would have done? Wow. It's the same thing in life. And you understand what? And I'm not trying, I'm being honest with you today. I'm being open and honest because that's what I see. Maybe you don't see it that way, but I'm being honest. That's my opinion, but that's what, and I'm being honest with you that people, it's easy to tell me what I did wrong in March. It's easy to tell somebody what you would have done in March when it's September. How do we know that you would have done it? Because we didn't hear from you. How do we know that that's what you have done? Because we didn't know where you were. We didn't know. How did the Yankees not know? Because I didn't talk to the manager to leave the guy in. I'm screaming at the TV. He didn't hear me. Amen. Hindsight. I wish Joseph was here today, John, because this is for the younger people more than us adults. Because us adults are smart already. Hindsight is 20. You all laughing with me, amen? You're laughing, you understand what I'm saying. But let me tell you the truth now. Moses, Solomon, Elijah, Isaiah, Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, and Jesus. Anybody hear of those people? You know who those people are. Can I get an amen? You all heard of these people, right? Timothy? They told us how to live. They told us how to treat others. They told us how to succeed. They told us how to prosper, how to find joy, how to be content. They've told us this. 2,000 years ago plus, they weren't looking backwards and second guessing. They were looking forward. This book right here, don't judge the cover. Don't judge the book by the cover. That book, the Bible, amen? Everything we need to know in 2020, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, Moses, Noah, Isaiah, all those prophets, David talking, Daniel talking, telling us what to do to prosper. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night and do everything that is written in therein, and then I will have good success. That's not hindsight. That was telling me 3,000 years ago from Joshua 1:8 what my life would be like if I just followed this book. The future. Telling us how to live. How to treat other people. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If people just did that, how many problems would we have? Who can be mad at anybody? Oh, some people don't like themselves, I guess. That's true. They were not looking back. They were looking ahead. They were prophesying, taking care of us. They were taking care of our needs, problems before they happened. Problems we face before they happened. They told us how to face trials and tribulations. Do it with joy. Do it with peace when you're facing something. Rejoice, Paul said, when you face trials and tribulations. Because that trial and that tribulation will add to your faith when you walk through it. It'll make you stronger when you walk. It tells us everything we need to pray for others. Lift others up. Do unto others. Amen? Everything that the Bible tells us from thousands of years ago works today in September, on the 13th of September, 2020. There's no hindsight there. And it just simply, is it a miracle? Do you think that's a miracle? When you think about the Bible that you have at home, maybe you haven't read much, you're looking, but maybe you just haven't opened it up and there's miracles in there. It's like a book waiting there and opening up and all these lights shine and all this glitter comes out and all these wonderful things and all these promises from God. You say, I don't really know how to read it. I don't read it much. But God is waiting. If you don't open it up until tomorrow, that same promise will be there waiting for you. And when you open it up and go through something and that promise feeds you, you start saying, wow, it's a miracle. How did he know that I was going to go through that? How did he know that people were going to come against me? How did he know that people would turn on me? How did he know that I would be treated bad at work? How did he know that somebody would be unfair? Somebody might sue me. How did he know all those things? Because he was God. And is God, and is our God, and fed these people these words for us. Not like you're laughing at me, I could be the best Yankee manager. No, but with God, we can do all kinds of great things. And that's the truth. Is it a miracle? I think so. How many want to know more? Do you want to know more? Are you hungry? Anybody here got everything they want from God today? Are you all right? You're pretty good now. You don't need anything else from God. Nothing you need. You don't worry about your grandkids. You're not worried about it. How many are like that? Oh, I don't need anything. I'm good. No. See? How many want to know more? I want to know more. When I looked up that quiz today for you, I wanted to look it up to know more. Because I knew that if I looked it up and found more, I would find wisdom and I would find something for me to understand that hope that I've been telling you about is the anchor of my soul. And that brings me to Jesus. I have that hope that I can go to Jesus. How many, when anybody go visit somebody else, you go to somebody's friend's house, they're going to have a cookout. How many bring something? Oh, bring a dish. How many bring a dish? You bring a dish, right? Bring something to drink. Maybe you bring some wine. Maybe you bring some food, right? Anybody ever go to a birthday party? What do you bring? You bring a present. Why? What are you doing that for? Anybody ever go to a wedding? What do you bring?
Money.
Money. Well, money. You bring a gift. Why? Why are you getting these? To honor those people you're visiting. Why do you do that? Because you want to feel good. You say, I love these people. Here's a gift from me. Open it up. I can't wait to see what I brought you. How many people have ever said that? How many people have ever given a grandkid a gift? Why? What'd they ever give you? Ajita. That's my mother's word. Sorry, Reed. You bring a gift. And you want them to open it. You want to see, oh, it's a great gift. You're going to love it. How many ever said that? I love the gift. Right? You're excited about the gift you picked out. Oh, I really did a lot to pick the gift out. You bring a gift to honor them. You bring a gift to lift them up. You bring a gift to make them feel special. Amen? And when they feel special, you feel what? Special. You feel good. Here's the part. How many bring gifts to God? When you go to God and pray, how many got needs? You all said you have needs, right? So when you go to God and pray, what do you bring them? What do you bring them?
Pray.
You walk up and say, hey, God, you know, I'm a little upset at you. You haven't fulfilled this. I'm thinking, oh, really? What Elder Nancy says, you bring praise. You bring the fruit of your lips. That's a gift. And I tell you that these people that I praise the Lord, I don't want to be wrong. But there's people who know the Word of God much better than I'll ever know the Word of God. They've studied this Bible for 30 and 40 years. They know where to go with it. But they also know how to use it to get what they're talking about. I would never promise you a double portion from God that's over my pay grade. I don't care how much I love you and I want you to have great success. I would never say, if you do this, you'll get a double portion. Amen? Who's the one that gives the blessing? Me or God? Who's the one that answers your prayers? Me or God? Hallelujah. So when you go to God, how many people bring something? You know, he says to be a cheerful giver, and a lot of people use that in the tithing. And there's something very important about tithing, because you're called to give to what God has blessed you with, to bless your church. If your pastor said, I want a new car, you start to say, maybe not. If I said, I want a new plane, there was a pastor a couple of years ago that said he needed a new private jet because he wanted to travel all over the world ministering to people, and he needed somebody to buy him a private jet. I said, well, if you're doing it for God, why don't he buy you a private jet? And I'm not being funny. I just, it's what I'm saying to you. But when you go to God, you have to bring him something. Sometimes you bring him, the Bible says, a contrite heart, Psalm 51:17. Anybody ever hear that? It said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You know who said that, Elder? David. Psalm 51. After David had committed the most horrifying sins in the Bible. Horrifying sins in the Bible. Because it was flesh sins. He committed these sins. He went to God and asked him for forgiveness. But before he asked him for forgiveness, he praised him. He said how sad he was. He said, Lord, I have sinned against you. He acknowledged his sin was against God. He went there with the heart of asking for forgiveness. And that's what he said right there, the sacrifice of God or a broken spirit. Sometimes you go to God with that. Sometimes you got to go to God with a gift. Maybe give him some joy. Go there and thank him for all the... See, when you go to God like that, sometimes when you're praying so much, you forget the things he's done for you. Last week, last month, last year, you forget those things. Amen? So when you forget those things, you forget to bring them when you're going to the party to pray. When you're going to sit with God, you're going to God now. You're not going to somebody's house for a birthday party. You're going to talk to God, and you're going to talk to him about the deepest needs you have. Understand that. You're going to talk to God. You're talking to Jesus about the deepest needs you have in your life. And you don't bring him something, he says, how important am I to you? And it's not about money. It's not, but it's about giving him something. Whether it be a sacrifice of praise. Say, Lord, I never raised my hand in church. But you know what, Lord? I really need this prayer. So I'm going to raise my hand in church because the Bible says, lift up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. Yeah, it sounds really weird to me. And I don't know how to do it. But if the Bible says I'm going to do it today, I'm going to lift up holy hands. That might not be it for you today. But that's what you do. You bring God something you hadn't given him before. So when you ask God, you're asking, see, you're already putting yourself in a position where God is going to listen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I don't have any barns and I don't have any vats. Really, you have a home, you have needs, you have a car, you have a family, you have children. So your barns will be filled with plenty means your home will be filled. And if your home is filled, your children are filled. Amen? So you look at it, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruit of your increase. If God has shown you a way to do more and have more, you show him that. Say, yes, Lord, here's my giving to you, between you and God. Proverbs 3:9. And Hebrews 13:15 says this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. How many times? Continually. Always. Offer. Offering it means you're giving it freely. The sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. When you give to somebody else, when you give, even if you might have 20 of these things, you might have the same thing, but you take that one thing off the shelf and say, I'm going to bless somebody else with that. God sees that, amen? I can't tell you how much he sees it. I can only tell you the word says, he sees what you're doing. He sees that, oh, no, you got all them, you got 50 pairs of shoes, so you give one away. No, it doesn't work that way. You gave one away. That's what God is seeing, amen? You chose to give something away. You chose to give it to somebody else to help them and lift them up. God sees that. He's not going to judge how many you have. He's going to judge your action. So when you go and you pray to God, and I know that I have prayers to God, I know I'm telling you that I fall short daily, hourly sometimes. I can't even tell you. Like Paul says, I will to do what I don't do, and I don't do what I will to do, and it's just impossible. But I know that my God is a forgiving and compassionate God when I go to him and get on my knees and say, Lord, help me. And if I'm calling on him to help me, that's a sacrifice. I'm saying, I can't do it by myself. I need you. So you bring a gift to honor God when you pray. What is your offering? Are you excited about your gift to him before asking? It's that simple. And this is very important. You might want to write this down. I like this. You can never outgive God. You can't impress him. You're going to see that's failing. See, if you're going to say, oh, I'm going to show him. No, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to try. You can never outgive him. He just wants you to give an offering. When you come to his throne room, when you go to his, wherever you go to pray to God, when you get on your knees or you sit there and you're talking to God in your car, you've come to God. You've come to Jesus. He's sitting right there listening to you. So the first thing you need to do is say, thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you understand my faults and my shortcomings. Thank you that you love me through them all. That's our God. He loves you through them all. Amen. You should praise him for that. Praise him right now for that. He loved you through it all. You're not forgotten. You're not a slave. You're not evil. He knows you love him. He knows your heart. Your actions might be totally against God, but he understands those sins. He understands that the flesh is weak. He understands that there's a world out there. And I want you all to come to Bible study next time, because I got one of the heaviest Bible studies. I don't even want to begin to tell you, because I just want to save it for the Bible study. And it's so important to know and important to hear. And I'm praying that we're going to have a great turnout. We had a wonderful Bible study talking about Judges, talking about Gideon the other night. Thank you for that. Are you excited about your gift before asking? How would he, before asking him? You all got needs. You all confess to me that your life isn't perfect yet. You know, the things that you want haven't been there yet. You're worried about your kids and your grandkids, so you still got more to pray about. But I'm telling you, what opens the door to the prayer is your praise. Start today. It may be exactly what you're missing. We must all honor God. You can't outgive him, so don't try. I love that. Confess your need, his help. Offer praise. Offer love. Understand, when you confess, when you humble yourself. How many men think that humbling is a weakness? I could never do that. It's not. Humbling yourself is the greatest strength you can show God, because you're removing self. You're looking in the mirror and you're removing that person. You're humbling yourself because you're coming to God and say, God, I can't fix this. I don't know what to do. Lord, but I know that you know what to do. And so I'm calling on you to help me, to lead me, to guide me, to show me. Show me where that light is, that path, Lord. And I will do my best to take that path. But I'm calling on you, and I praise you, Lord, because you're the one. You're the only one. You're the answer. This book that he's given us doesn't look back. John, you have to share that with Joseph. He has to know that this book is a prophecy. That all these things these other people do, these people with hindsight, they're looking backwards, telling you. But this book looks forward. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, everything in this book works for today. That's a miracle. That's God's miracle, and he gave it to you, and he gave it to me. So just understand this God that we talk about, how beautiful he is, how merciful and long-suffering with us. We've taken God to places he would never want to go, but he went there with us to keep us safe. He went there with us to help us, and now he's lifting us up. Don't think for a second he's done answering your prayers. Don't think even right now it's bad at work or it's bad at home or whatever, that he can't fix it. But you have to let him. You have to praise him, and you have to talk to him, because he will lift you up. He will lift the person in the mirror up, and things around you will begin to shine, and your prayers will begin to be heard when you go with thanksgiving, because that's all he's asking from his people, to be a cheerful giver. Give him praise, church. I want so much to tell you about that Bible study, but I'm not going to. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there's something you haven't said or something you haven't done that you thought was like lifting up holy hands. I use that one because I tell you over and over again, it took me 6 months. So maybe that's something that God is waiting for you. Something different. I always say different, but something different today you might be able to say to God. Say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Whatever it is, that offering you can give him before you ask. You put yourself like David did in Psalm 51. You put yourself in a place where he will heal you. And then David asked for forgiveness. And not only did David ask for forgiveness, but the next paragraph after that in Psalm 51, he's asking to be blessed. He's asking to have a spirit renewed, and all the things he's been praying for, to be blessed, to bless his life, to bless his future. Imagine that. He knew how to talk to God. And we all need to do that the same way. Amen? God did it for us on that cross. He did it for us. No man did it for us. No man can take it away. God did it for us. We didn't ask him. He came and did it. And all he wants his children to do is eat this bread and in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Brother Ray was with us a couple of times. He found a church in Milford. from Devon, where he goes, not Devon, sorry, West Haven. But he said, Pastor, they have to be cleansed to receive the sacrament of the blood. Since the first day he told me that, I ask God every Sunday to cleanse us of our iniquities, forgive us, cleanse our heart and our spirit so we can receive that. Bring us to the place where we're worthy. And hope. Our hope is the anchor. Our anchor that brings us to God, and we hope that He hears us, and we know that He hears us, and we hope that He forgives us, and we know that He forgives us. So as we ask that and receive that blessing, know now. Know if you ask Him truly in your heart to forgive you, you have to do it yourself. I can't do it for you. But if you ask Him, know that you've been forgiven, know that He's lifting you up, and know you're in a place to receive the sacrament. When He poured the wine into a cup, said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. I'm doing this for you, the blood sacrifice, once for all, in Jesus' name." Thank you, Lord. We have a great God. We worship a great God. We don't have 50 people here right now, but I want you to again one more time to look around and see the faithful. See the faithful. We're building it off of each and every one of us. You're the faithful. You've been coming, and you've seen the blemishes, and you've seen all the other things, and you've decided to stay because the Word of God is being preached here, and you're hearing the Word of God right here. You are the faithful. Let God see that. Let your light shine. Let God know that you're faithful. Let Him know that you love Him. When you pray to Him tonight, today, this afternoon, just say, "Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life." That's the praise. "Thank you, Lord. I will remember all the prayers that you answered." That's the praise. Say, "Lord, I need you. I humble myself." That's praise. That's acknowledging. That's the heart, the contrite heart that He will not turn away from. He won't. He will hear your prayer. You can't outgive Him. So whatever you give in your offering, whatever you give in your life, your first fruits, whatever you share with other people, you can't outgive Him. But He sees every little thing that you give to somebody, a smile, some compassion, some tenderness, whatever it is, He sees it. And if He sees it, He will bless you. Believe that. Thank you, Lord. Give Him praise, church. Please give Him praise. She sees in the spirit, absolutely she does. Yes, she does. They're a beautiful couple together. He's loved her so well and done everything for her. So now we need to pray for Bob. And it's a terrible situation. You know, we always said that singing in a nursing home to me was the greatest gift. I remember, Greg, it was that long ago, 20 years ago, that I started singing in a nursing home. I said, what a beautiful gift. And now it's gone. The entire thing is gone. And they've taken it away. We can't even go in the door. If we go there and we work and we have to use the facilities, we can't use. So we can't go in the door. So that's what Sergio is facing, and that's what Bob and facing. So we need to pray for this. We need to pray for this virus to be gone, for people to open up the doors and let loved ones together, because that's causing just as much harm. You can't see your loved ones. You can't hold their hand. You can't talk to them. Do you know the damage that that's doing? So we all need to pray together that wisdom takes over. Something happens that we can overcome this. Amen? It's not anybody's judgment on anybody. It's the truth. These people are alone there. They spent their whole life, 95 years being with their family, and all of a sudden one day they can't see anybody in their family. We need to pray for this. We need to pray for us and pray for this nation. Pray for the whole world. The whole world's facing this.